Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire. Tracy, you're going to help me again.
It's Tracy Higginbotham.
Tracy Higginbotham. I'm sorry if I said that wrong. And Tracy has a women's organization called Women's Ties. And her and I are going to discuss ways in which women are reaching out in their communities to help other people during this time of crisis. So, Tracy, the whole thing is so new and so unexpected and riveting. How are you coping with everything?
Well, you know, I think I'm coping a little bit better than some women. I actually spoke with a friend of mine who she had gone through a breast cancer diagnosis, and the past year and a half, I was sort of had to take time away from my business to deal with a health situation of my own called alopecia. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, I had to get used to having more limited contact with my members, doing less events for my business, and really learning to communicate online and on phone with the people that are involved with my company. So my friend and I both spoke about the fact that we think that this kind of prepared us a little bit for what people are going through right now, because we mm-hmm. had to stay out of public.
So in your own way, you know, I know you do events side of social media and you are on social media. What are you doing to help your fellow humankind as we go through this crisis?
Right. Well, I think for me, the most, besides, you know, my husband and two sons, one of them who works in New York City in a hospital, so concerned about him. But from a business perspective, and my network is really has been supporting, inspiring, and uniting women entrepreneurs. And so I'm most concerned about them and how they are going to handle, you know, conducting business in light of this. I think, you know, so many small businesses may suffer from this kind of this crisis. And so what I'm reaching out to them to do is to ask them if any of them have any online services, educational classes, something where, you know, with something purely inspirational, maybe musical, maybe artistic, and ways to be able to take what they're offering free of charge and be able to let my members know about it so that they can stay connected and also be involved, you know, from the privacy of their own office or home. And so I'm looking for any women entrepreneurs really that have are doing something like that to be able to help promote what they're doing and just create kind of this online environment in a different way for us until we can all get out in public again together.
Would you say this is as earth-shaking as 9/11?
I actually think it's more earth-shaking than 9/11. I actually had a friend who was in a 9/11 plane who I found out afterwards. And, of course, personally for me, it was a personal loss and one that really changed me in terms of flying and having additional fear. I think this is more severe because it just crosses everybody. Everybody is impacted in some way, shape, or form. And there doesn't seem to be kind of an end to when it's going to end, how many people will be affected, how different our world will look, you know. Mm-hmm. And yes, 9/11 changed a lot of stuff in terms of flying and our personal security here in America. But this, is, to me, is so much larger than that incident was.
When did they start telling everybody in the Syracuse area? Was it when Governor Cuomo shut the restaurants and eating establishments down?
Or well, you know,
yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, we were, Governor Cuomo was reporting, or they were, I think he was reporting, somewhere on their site was reporting how many cases per county. Syracuse is based in Onondaga County, and we didn't have a case until just early this week. I mean, it took a long time for us to actually have a case reported, but again, like the national situation, it was because we didn't have tests that were available. You know, I spoke at an event in Ithaca on March 5th, and I remember that it was sort of going on then, and I was wondering if anybody was going to still, if they would still want me to come to that event and to speak. And I remember somebody extending their hand to want to shake my hand, and I was like, I wonder if I should. And that was March 5th. Now, 2 weeks later, you can imagine that there wouldn't even be an event and you would never shake somebody's hand.
Right. You know, I think that the technology that we have today, the internet, Blog Talk Radio, and our cell phones with pictures, you know, we were able to take pictures. I think that it's going to make everybody aware that much sooner, instead of like maybe at some point reading the book. Not only are people experiencing it, but they could learn about the experience of their friends and loved ones because of the internet. So go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, and, you know, my two sons work in New York City, one in engineering who's now home-based working. My other son, like I said, works for the Hospital of Special Services, an orthopedic hospital. But because he works for a hospital, I was with him a couple days ago. We went down to bring both of them food and then just come back. And, you know, he was getting calls and messages about, you know, whether he had ICU experience and emergency room experience. So when I left, I felt kind of unsettled. And I said to both my boys, you know, we're used to just calling once in a while. You know, I want to talk to you probably every other day. And I'd love to FaceTime, because that is a mother is going to make me feel better. When I can see you and check in with you more often. And I think that I'm hearing that with people. They're checking in on their mothers, you know, their elder parents more often, or neighbors that are elderly, or, you know, or children that they're concerned about. So I think that this is going to create a better appreciation, in a sense, for people understanding that technology is wonderful because it can help us stay connected and see each other. But once we get to really be together again, I think it's going to be an amazing feeling.
I'm sure it will be. So in the woman that you've reached out to in your organization, what are they doing in their communities to lessen the stress and anxiety that's going on in society right now?
You know, one of them, I have always kind of done yoga at home anyways, but one of my women members right here in Syracuse offers yoga, and they've decided to put it online. So I actually took their online yoga class this morning, just from the, you know, the comfort of my home. So that was a great way. You know, I think women that have businesses like that are saying, okay, it doesn't matter. We're not going to get a fee. We're just going to offer these services to help individuals. I loved last night, I think I saw on Channel 9, like Melissa Etheridge, from a national perspective, you know, she's singing kind of live concerts and putting them on Facebook Live. So I'm sure there are other musicians here locally that will start doing that as well. There are people that are teaching courses, some of them free, some of them maybe paid in a minimal amount. But this is the perfect time, you know, for people who feel they don't know how to do podcasts like you do so well, or they don't know how to market their businesses as well. You know, they can go to YouTube and get tutorials. But what I'm hoping to do is show these women entrepreneurs that are offering something to try to help them with their branding and their recognition so that when this is all done, people remember them. So I've seen art classes. There's just such a wide range of services that people can offer. And I think this is just the beginning. I think there will be more women offering more things. And I think for all of your listeners on Women Who Inspire, that's something they may want to think about. What could they do on YouTube? Could they do a podcast? Could they do a Facebook Live on something? You know, what could they do to share their message of hope, their message of whatever services and products they offer, and help the community as well as at the same time, you know, helping themselves to feel good as they're offering something?
You know, 9/11 changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody has a crystal ball. But
mm-hmm.
how do you think it's going to change? Because this is worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe how bad it is in Italy.
I know.
And how do you think this will change people's attitude? Because I think people, and I'm reassessing the way I think that, you know, we kind of take things for granted. You know, I'm retired and
mm-hmm.
I do this as a hobby, but to be socially conscious at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, oh my God, it's just amazing how many things go through my mind. What if I have to stay secluded for 6 months. What if the stock market really drops substantially?
Right.
What's going to happen to all the small businesses that are going to go under? What about
right.
all of the low-wage workers who are losing their jobs?
I know.
So ultimately, America will change as the world
mm-hmm.
will change.
Mm-hmm.
What do you envision?
You know, it's so scary right now to look forward. I guess I go backward when I think, and I think of my grandparents both came from Italy. My grandfather was 8 years old when he came from Italy. And I really never thought until just this week about how much, you know, he provided for all of us with like 2 acres of vegetable food, you know, vegetables that were grown and home food and the importance of us always being around the table on certain days of the week. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think too that, and I don't want to say just Americans, but, you know, we spend a lot, we waste a lot. I think there's a whole kind of pulling back to maybe a feeling from back in the 1930s, not that we're going to be in a Great Depression, but, you know, my gosh, who knows? But the importance mm-hmm. of family, the importance of sharing, the importance of being mindful, not wasteful, from everything that you do. And my grandparents were always very conservative when it came to just being prepared. You know, they knew that time could change. And in my lifetime, I was born in 1964, I really have never had anything except 9/11 to have to ever worry about. So I kind of think it's a realigning of priorities that are going to happen all over the world. And we may have to go back to the basic and to the simple in order to survive and thrive again. I think we've been kind of out of whack for a very long time. I hope and pray not that many people die from this. But again, we've seen this. But how can we start working together again and looking at the fact that we are all one globe? I mean, when you look at the climate crisis, I mean, that could be the next thing that comes, you know, that comes close after this one. I mean, we really have to pay attention to what's happening in our globe because it affects all of us, no matter where we live.
And,
so there just may be more of an awareness, you know, a higher awareness of how connected we truly all are.
In 2007, I was I was diagnosed with lymphoma.
Wow.
And
I'm sorry to hear that.
I had to go through the chemo and stuff like that. And it's like when you get that diagnosis, you're looking at your mortality.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I look back and I think about that and I say, boy, you know, I came to grips with my mortality back in 2007.
Right.
Even
right.
though nobody really knows what's going to happen to all of us,
mm-hmm.
I'm looking
right.
at the same thing all over again. Kind of look at your mortality as
mm-hmm.
you face this crisis. Have you experienced
right.
that?
You know, I have. And it's interesting because, again, my friend who went through the breast cancer diagnosis and I had this conversation, and hers was, you know, mine was an autoimmune disorder where I lost all my hair. And it wasn't a life-threatening illness. And yet your world is changing so fast and you really don't know what's happening until you really find everything out. And you do realize, I'm very aware with the death of my father, you know, a couple of years ago, and with a lot of older aunts and women in my life that I love and adore so much, that I do worry about losing them. And I think all of us, you know, death is just such a hard concept for any human to wrap their mind around. And
right.
I think that that's why times like now are scary, or when you get a diagnosis, or when there's a loved one who has a diagnosis. So, you know, I think we go on our lives not really thinking about our death or about serious illness until something like this sort of confronts us, or like your diagnosis confronts you. And then you have to
right.
stop and say, you know, everyone will die. But how will I live my life from now until that point? So I think now, even with the world changing the way that it is now, how appreciative can I be of my life? How can I help other people? What can I
right.
do to make sure that I'm living the best that I can be and being the best human being with what time I have? So I think it's going to help people to maybe refocus on what's most important to them, on people that are important, maybe fixing relationships, you know, kind of steadying the waters. And I do have a very deep faith. I was born to Catholic parents. And, you know, I love my faith. I love my rosary. I love, you know, all the things that I have. And I'm very grateful and thankful for that in my life. And I know other people do as well. And so I think, you know, when you have that, it also can base you in knowing that that things will be okay, you know, that there's a greater love and there's a greater place eventually to go to. So I take some solace in that as well. And that's how I look moving forward, is I pray every day for people I love so much and pray
mm-hmm.
that they will be protected. And that gives me a sense of security in some ways to be able to deal with the news, really.
Now, when you've reached out to the women in your group, what has the response been? What do people tell you? What do these women tell you?
In terms of this crisis right now that they're facing?
Yep.
Yeah. You know, because it has truly happened so quick, I haven't been able to get many of them. I think they're probably out, like all of us are out, trying to make sure we have bread and toilet paper and, you know, enough meat to get us through. And I have not had enough one-on-one conversation. Something I do want to do, probably starting next week, is to call each one of my members to see how they are doing, because I feel that's important in case they want to talk about it. But I think this is going so quick, and without having events, it hasn't been an opportunity to get face to face with my members when I really do hear what they're interested in. So I can only see from social media how they're trying
mm-hmm.
to cope by doing these online programs and offerings and trying to keep normal as much as they can. So I really do want to make those personal phone calls. And I would say to any of the women, if you have other women entrepreneurs within your Women Who Inspire group, that, you know what, now's a perfect time to make phone calls. You know, a phone call might be the best thing you can do for somebody. And so think of those important, if you can't call all your clients or all your best friends or all your girlfriends or all the women that inspire you, you know, maybe pick three a day that you could call and have a conversation with. Make yourself feel better and make them feel better at the same time.
Wow, that's pretty powerful. So when you said a phrase a couple of minutes ago, back to normal, I think normal is a phrase that might not mean the same 2 weeks from now than it did 2 weeks ago, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, yeah. You know, life does change all the time, but it's when you have these shocking occurrences that you realize that life was normal, you know, and now you're living in an abnormal. But at some point, you know, just like when I've taken my sabbatical and you had to go through your health crisis, at some point, normal becomes our habit and our routines and our mindset and what we do with the time that we have, and how we frame our days in order to find that new normal. And normal will be different for every single person, you know, until this crisis really goes away. And that's what I would encourage people to do. What I have said to my Women's Hive members is get up and maybe if there's three things that you can do the same every morning. For me, it's either meditating or praying first, then exercising second, whatever that is, fitness, biking, running, and then writing. And those are the three staples to the beginning of my day. And if you, the women that are listening to this can say, okay, what three constant exercises, tasks, whatever it is that I can do every day to make me feel like I'm starting my day normal, then I can handle things that will come via news or via family news or whatever. And I think it's really important to just get grounded in the beginning of the day with whatever it is that makes you important. Maybe it's calling your son to check on him. Maybe it's you know, doing business first thing in the morning. Maybe it's listening to like an Oprah Soulful Sunday YouTube video, something that's going to keep you doing the same thing every morning to make you feel like you've got normalcy in your life.
From your perspective, as you've been living your life over the past couple of weeks of upheaval, do you have trouble focusing? Do you have trouble figuring out, okay, now I've got to do this? There's a lot that I want to do, but I just can't get the motivation to say, okay, I'm going to do this now. Whereas before, bang, 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 I would do it, and I'm having trouble now. Do you feel the same way?
Well, I think that what you're describing in my mind is just the shock that's happening. And I think shock in terms of, you know, when you hear news about a death of a loved one or, you know, something, you're in a shock state. And I think there's so many people that are experiencing that. And when you are in a shock state, that you can't process things right away. You know, when you have a death of a loved one, it takes a while to accept that. And so I think with every day being a different day, I don't think that people should feel bad if they can't be as productive as they used to, because it feels so unknown. And that's why I think adding three normal things to the beginning of your day may, at least if those three normal things help you to feel more grounded, that might be better. But I think every day is a shock, and not knowing what's going to happen is also disturbing. So I think, you know, you're very normal in how you feel, and I'm sure there's many people that feel the same way. For me,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I said just for me, because that year and a half that I didn't know what was happening with my health and how I was going to come through it, I think that it set me up for this time in a way, because I had to let myself really be on the mornings where I was really disorganized, or not disorganized, didn't know what was going to happen. Sometimes I just had to say, you know what, Tracy, it's okay to just wake up, have a cup of coffee, do what makes you happy for the moment, and then try to get to work. And I think that we mentally have to give ourselves the chance and the ability and the permission to just be. And then at some point, though, try to do some action steps so that you're not stuck in just thinking about how bad things might be. Anything positive, like you, book, you know, more people that you're going to speak to on your podcast. You know, make sure you're reaching out to the women on your Facebook group and making sure they're posting. Pick up the phone call. You know, I mean, find inspirational posts. Sometimes if we can just give ourselves purpose within the day, just a little purpose during the day will take maybe some of that shock out and start slowly moving us forward. And we have to be gentle with ourselves. This is a tough time. It really is a tough time. So I think having less expectations for the way we're supposed to be acting and what we need to do is important for us to be able to get through this time period.
So we only have about a minute or two left. So yes. Can you tell everybody about your organization and how women can join it?
Sure, absolutely. So Women Ties celebrated its 15th year in business on March 3rd, which seems like it was years ago, but it was only a couple of weeks ago. We have womenties.com is my actual website where people can join. But for a free service, I have been writing a blog about business success strategies since 2008. And if anybody went to Women Ties, which is WOMENTIES .blog, womenties.blog, you can find from 2008 to now inspirational posts, educational posts. I do stuff on women inequality, women in sports. And so that's a great place to just, you know, look through and see what categories maybe will help you. And then on Facebook, I have multiple Facebook groups. There's a Women Ties group. There's a Women Together Inspiring Entrepreneurial group. There's a Tracy Higginbotham page. So absolutely anybody can join me on any of those pages, and I'm happy to connect with them and help them as much as I can.
Thank you, Tracy. And you're going to have to help me with your name again.
Maybe I should change my name, Les. I know. It's fine. It's Higginbotham. No. Tracy Chamberlain Higginbotham.
And this is Women Who Inspire. I'm Cynthia Pooler. And if you like this show, I have a Facebook group called Women Who Inspire. And I also have a Twitter account, Women Inspire 21. So if you're a lady out there, if you're a woman out there, and you're doing something in your community to alleviate the stress and anxiety that people are feeling because of this, I welcome you to come on my show, and you can message me on Facebook or Twitter. Thank you. Thank you, Tracy, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Cynthia.